This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Charvarius Ward will be out. Jacob Cowing out. Tatum Bethune out. Kevin Givens out. Nick Bosa out. Brock Purdy out. Trent Williams questionable. Feliciano questionable.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Talk about burying the lead. Thanks, Kyle. I mean, what did he say? I know you're all waiting for the Tatum Bethune announcement.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
By the way, Brock Purdy is also out. All right. How you feeling about the season? 888-957-9570. There's no Brock Purdy in Green Bay. There's no Nick Bosa in Green Bay. I will take 10 seconds to let you know that it's okay, Bay Area sports fans, because you do have Mike Yastrzemski in right field. The San Francisco Giants and Mike Yastrzemski have agreed on a one-year deal to avoid arbitration. And as Alex Pavlovich writes, this sets their outfield now with Yaz in right, Lee in center, and Ramos in left.
Damn it, Farhan!
Anyway, as we were.
Yeah.
How's your outlook on the season now?
It's as grim as it has been, because you go into Green Bay, and I asked on Monday if I could take Green Bay at the time, -1.5, and I was told I couldn't. But in real gambling, you can, and I did. But in our bit, the Fade the Dibber, now I'm riding this thing all the way out until, I don't know, maybe next segment.
About 45 minutes. Right. You got to play this number.
Because now it's jumped to 5.5, and it looks like it's going to hold at 5.5 based on the metrics I'm looking at from the gambling world. And so, you know, where am I at with the Niners' outlook of the season? It still is all dependent on what happens next. And he's not going to play Sunday. I get it. Can you win? You're allowed to. And I'm looking at the money line odds, and they are +200 to win, which means it's a 2-in-1 chance that they don't, which I believe is implied odds of about 33% chance that they win. So let's assume that they lose. They're underdogs for the first time in 2 years. You go to Buffalo. If Brock doesn't play in that game and you lose, well, at that point, you can start thinking about the season really kind of being over, depending on how long Brock is out. If Brock just misses this game, I still feel pretty good about their chances, because he is a huge key to this team.
Well, I mean, technically, if you want to play the math out, even if they lose the next two games, they're totally allowed to go on a 5-game win streak to end the season.
Sure. The math is still there, as you hate when I say, but the math would be there.
And there's no divisional losses in there if they lose the next two.
True.
Only one of them's a conference loss. Again, and I don't know when Brock's going to be back, but I can answer it a different way, because, again, we're just talking opinions here. This does lower my outlook of the season.
Oh, it has to.
100%.
No doubt. You know,
I like the thought that maybe the 49ers can do this, and maybe they'll capture that, and maybe they'll find themselves, and they'll stop committing all the penalties and just whatever. I've thought of this 49ers season all year kind of like a golf swing. When you're in a slump, you know damn well it's in there, or not even a slump. You ever do this where the driver is just going 30 yards shorter than normal? And you're like, God, what am I doing? I'm clearly right. My hips are too far. It's like something. But I know it's in there. It's in there. You just got to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've felt that way all year long about this 49er team. It's in there. You just got to go find it. Well, for as long as Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa and who knows, maybe Trent Williams, I now don't necessarily believe that it's in there. Doesn't mean that they won't get a good break or have a good game. Doesn't mean that it's not savable, but I do not any longer believe in the, at least for this moment, the personnel of the San Francisco 49ers based on who they're going up against.
It still is in there. If Brock misses one game, then you still, I believe, can say that it is still in there. And the way things could break, Arizona's got Seattle and Minnesota. That could be two losses. They're 6-6. Seattle's got Arizona, and they've got a New York Giants team, which if they split, they're 6-6. The Rams could split and be 6-6, and you could be 5-7. So worst case scenario, or the best of the worst case scenario, no Brock in the next two. You lose both, you're 5-7. You could still be only one game out with five to go.
Why don't we focus in on this particular moment, though? And we see you coming, so we're going to the phones here in just a sec. 888-957-9570. How do you feel about the season outlook now? There is no Brock Purdy. There is no Nick Bosa this weekend in Green Bay. Trent Williams, a question mark. Here's some more from Kyle Shanahan on everything that's in play. First of all, this is what he said about Purdy's progress throughout this week.
This was complaining about how tight it was throughout the game, and it started happening throughout the game. That's why he was warming up just a lot more than usual. He said he had a hard time keeping it loose, and then after the game is when it really started to hurt, and then Monday morning is really why he had to go get an MRI for it.
Okay, so that's interesting information, because we're not just talking about the practice week. We're talking about the last game. And for all of the talk about Brock not letting it rip and not seeing it downfield, you start to wonder actually if this shoulder was a part of that decision-making within the game, because he was definitely suffering throughout the game against Seattle.
Yeah, no throws in the last two games, but last game he did have a couple, that, as Greg Cosell laid out to us in our weekly hit with the senior editor, senior executive from NFL Films, and he saw two or three plays where there were open throws down the field and he just didn't see it. And maybe he saw it, but he didn't feel confident enough in the shoulder to let it rip.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to see it. It's another thing to execute it. And if you can't do that, and obviously that's where we are right now, and he had an MRI yesterday, and the fact that he had an MRI tells me that they feel like there's something in there that is wrong. And you don't just get an MRI because you want to check it out. You know, you go through the physical therapy, which he did after practice when he couldn't go anymore, and you get the MRI, and obviously nothing is so bad that they put him on IR or anything like that, but he clearly has something wrong with the shoulder.
Yep. Okay. Now, this is now focusing in on the 49ers, at least for Sunday. The 49ers' new starting quarterback, Brandon Allen. Most of you have probably not seen him play. Hasn't really played for two or three years in the league. Used to be the Bengals' backup quarterback. Has won a few games, but it's been a while. This is what Kyle said with regard to whether or not the game plan changes moving to Allen from Purdy.
Yeah, you know, there's not a big game plan adjustment. You know, this is something that we didn't think would happen early in the week. So we were fully preparing for Brock to go, and getting a little surprised about this on yesterday. Nothing has to change. So that's a good deal for us.
Okay. So short answer is no. Game plan doesn't change.
Right. Okay. I mean, the game plan doesn't change, but I wonder what that means as far as the expectations, because Brandon Allen is a professional quarterback. His last start was in week 18 back in 2022, I believe. And it's a game where, you know, he went out there and played with a bunch of twos against other twos, and he went out and lost, but doesn't even matter what the result was. He's a guy who hasn't played football, game speed, NFL football in a long, long time. So if you're telling me the game plan doesn't change, then the game plan must have been to not really take a lot of chances and ride your running backs.
I'd also say this, like, shout out to when Cosell said to us, you guys, it's a press conference. One thing that I think Kyle Shanahan and most coaches, when they hear, they immediately shut down, is tell us your game plan. No.
Right.
How about that? No, I'm not telling you. So no, you're not going to sit there today and be like, yep, we're running the ball now because this guy stinks. He's not going to do that. And I don't even think he feels that way, but he's not going to do that. He was asked if if the 2022 season gives him any confidence, the year that they had to play three QBs and ended up in the NFC title game.
I don't think they look at it that way. I mean, it's good to have that story and stuff, but I think why they have hope is because they're with Brandon every single day. So, I mean, I know outside of here, people haven't seen a lot of Brandon because he hasn't had to go in yet. But this is Brandon's second year. They see him on scout team all the time. And, you know, obviously guys want Brock up, but guys are excited to see Brandon play.
Okay. Let's hear from Brandon. Here's a voice you probably never heard before.
Right?
Brandon Allen, who did not really think that he was going to start until he was told today.
Yeah, today, really. I know he had a plan for his shoulder all week. He was going to rest it a little bit on Wednesday, and I think we kind of split reps there on Wednesday. He's going to rest it a little bit, and then I think the plan was Thursday to come out and practice, and you know, I guess just in warm-ups, just wasn't feeling right. So, you know, still expect him to kind of go in, get treatment, come back, but, yeah, I kind of found out today.
Okay, and then this is what he said about the specific Green Bay matchup.
Solid defense. Obviously, the defense is the key part why they have a pretty good record, and then they do a great job of forcing turnovers. So it'll be our job to protect the ball, keep it in our guys' hands, and you know that's really throughout the NFL. That's a big key to winning games is protecting the football.
Okay, and are you preparing differently now that you're the starter?
You know, preparation really hasn't changed besides just getting more reps. I think that's really been the only difference this week was actually getting to throw to some of the guys and, you know, getting live reps with JJ, Debo, George, all those guys, Ricky. So that was really the only main difference for me this week.
That's your guy. That's
yep.
Brandon Allen, starting
32-year-old quarterback. Yep. He's been a journeyman out of Arkansas, been mostly a career backup. Debuted in 2019. He's made 9 starts. He's 2-7. His last start was back in 2021 with the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
a game where he was not necessarily stellar. He went 15-29 for a .136, didn't throw a pick, 1 touchdown, and he mentioned the Green Bay Packer defense. They are tied for 5th in takeaways with 19.
Yep.
And, you know, yards against on the average per play, they're in the middle, yards per pass, yards per rush, all the same. They're a good defense, but what they do a lot is take the ball away, and he is aware of that.
Yep, although Jair Alexander also ruled out for the Packers, he's not playing. I will say this, if you want to like look at the stats, he hasn't started a lot of games, as you said, in his career. He's only played in 16 games. But if you're looking for something, numbers are numbers are numbers are numbers.
Right.
He has, in every single year of his career, thrown more touchdowns than picks. Not normal for a career journeyman backup. It's usually kind of the other way.
Like that was kind of a fun stat.
Thank you.
I mean, you Captain I Sunshine on a rainy day.
No, but I mean, I think that go do it for Josh Dobbs. Go do it for Josh Dobbs and let's see what it looks like.
I will, but Brandon Allen, 10 touchdowns in his career, 6 interceptions.
6.
He's got a 3-2, a 5-4, and a 2-0.
I mean, for a career backup, I would argue that like only 6 picks in how many pass attempts does he have in his career?
263.
263,
yeah. 263, 6 2.3%, which is pretty good. Brock's this year is about 4, which is also still pretty good.
Josh Dobbs' career, 15 touchdowns, 13 picks.
Yeah, Dobbsy.
Yeah, look at that.
And one more win than Brandon Allen.
Yes, correct.
In 5 more starts.
I think both of them are like,
they're backups.
Yeah.
Right?
Like they should be in those commercials. With the backup quarterback that comes in and like parks the truck or whatever. Like that's who they are.
And this is where you look last year at Sam Darnold and you think you might have had the best backup in the league.
For sure.
And what he's done this year. And you don't always get to have that guy. Although I saw something earlier today about Daniel Jones being the next 49er backup. Maybe next year or whatever happens to Daniel Jones. But that would be the kind of backup you'd want. Somebody who's actually gone out there and played a bunch.
Yeah. Once he clears waivers, they can go get him if they want. You could start him on you. Like, that should happen. When does that happen? Can he be ready by Sunday? I'm kidding. Sushi Steve in the city on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Steve, what's up?
What's up, guys? I'm just driving on 101, like, floating my car down 101 right now. It's crazy.
Go slow.
Hey, so listen, before I kind of rant, Willard, your dad was my math teacher at Burlingame High School. He was honestly my favorite teacher I ever had in 4 years. So I'm not just saying that I love Mr. Willard. He was awesome.
Dude, Steve, thank you so much. Did you mention this to me one time before, and then I made you feel old by telling?
I called.
Do you remember how old he is now? I'm gonna see him on Wednesday or Tuesday. Actually, I'm gonna see him next week for Thanksgiving. Yeah, he's 82.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, he's 82.
Wow,
yeah. He's 82 years old.
That makes sense. Hey, so listen, I'm just gonna throw a scenario at you guys, just because, you know, like, I pretty much get all my 49er updates from you guys. I mean, I peruse on the internet, whatever, whenever I have a moment, but it's pretty much from you guys. So, you know, going into this week, we got all these injuries, and you know, I'm not gonna get into the fire Kyle Shanahan thing, even though that's how I kind of feel.
Good.
But I'm not. I get
do?
It. There's no better coach. I'm not going to go there.
All right.
We need him. But my point is, right now with all those injuries, I mean, I think all those draft picks that we traded away to get Trey Lance, to move up to get Trey Lance, I mean, I think those are going to bite us in the ass now, right? Like, you knew this day was coming. We don't have, like, you know, people are out, you know, like, we don't have great backups. I know backups aren't usually the best players, but it's like, I don't know. I hated that move when we got Trey Lance to move up and got Trey Lance. I hated it. And I knew that would bite us eventually. And it's kind of happening now. What do you guys think?
Well, here's what I think.
I agree with that.
Steve, you do?
Well, that's two players that you'd love to have that you don't have.
For sure. But it's a difficult line to draw directly from that to this. There's no two ways about it. That was a disastrous move.
I just think that you'd rather have two players, even if neither of the player was a really superstar player, at least you'd have two guys that you really liked that would be on this team that you don't have.
Right, but in theory, those guys would already be in. I mean, my point is that's not suddenly a thing if it wasn't already a thing.
Right.
It was already a thing.
And I think it was already a thing, yeah, and that's like what I was saying back in September when I looked at this roster.
Very unfortunate move. And just because they were able to find a different quarterback in a different year in a different round does not mean that you don't feel the effects of that. It's a hellacious miss that the 49ers made because it wasn't just one pick. It was a bucket full of picks. And so, yeah, there's no getting around that. But I don't suddenly think of it today and go, oh, now that these injuries have happened, now is when you're feeling that.
I've been thinking about it for a long time, going back to, you know, early September. When
you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It looked like the roster was not as deep as other rosters in the past, and part of it is because you don't have those first-round picks. And luckily, or not luckily, because I don't think it's luck, I think it's scouting, but congrats to the Niners for having such a great draft this last year, because you've gotten six players to immediately step in and be a part of your 22-man starting roster. And think about if they would have had a mediocre draft, where this team would be if you didn't have Pooney or Green or Mustafa and you know Pearsall, and you want to run all the way through the list of guys who've come in and made an impact, you'd be in a real world of hurt. But because you had a good draft, that's offset it a little bit. But to me, you still would love to have had two first-round picks that would be in the building.
There's no way around that. And I mean, I don't know how y'all look at that. I've always said this. I bake that in to the thought about any draft or any team. They all have misses. And this one was a really, really bad one. But that's part of the deal, man. You got to swing sometimes, and sometimes you're really, really going to swing and miss. My only concern looking at a team in drafting players is if they're doing this consistently. And so that's why I've always sort of kind of puffed up a little bit when people start going after there's the Trey Lance thing, and then you didn't do offensive line, and you didn't do what we wanted here, and those third-round running backs, and damn it. And then on the other side of the fence is this unbelievable list of what the 49ers have done fourth round and later. Like, just plucking Pro Bowlers out of, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, Kittle, Greenlaw, Purdy, Fred Warner. We could go on and on and on. So, like, to me, that's when I'm going to get on a team for doing what they do in the draft, is if they are consistently having misses. Outside of that, I think every team whiffs. Boy, every team that got a quarterback that whole year whiffed. That whole class was a whiff. I mean, even Trevor Lawrence was a whiff. What's he gonna do in Jacksonville?
Well, he got you to a playoff.
Great.
So, I mean, that's more than the other guys have done.
He's the best
and he
of
still
the five.
Has his job. Yeah,
he's making $55 million a year. Have fun.
Right. Well, and
not good enough for that.
We'll see how bad this injury is. And, you know, if it turns out to be worse than what all of us had thought, I wonder how that will affect what the 49ers look to do, not only now, but in the offseason. Because if Kyle Shanahan is not sure that he'll be ready to face the Bills on December 1st, and those are his words, he's not sure. So if you go loss-loss and Arizona goes win-win and they're 8-4 and you're 5-7, and now you're looking at it like, okay, now we're three back with five to play.
Yeah, you're toast.
Well, if you're toast. Maybe you're into shutdown mode. And if you're into shutting Brock down, if Brock might be ready on December 8th and you're three games back with five to go, maybe at that point you think about shutting Brock down. And I wonder how that affects Brock's money going into the offseason. If he again has an injury, and again, he's not able to finish a season.
I'll look at it another way, which is, and I think this is actually a very realistic possibility, Niners could lose the next two games and still be one game out of first.
It's possible.
Very, very realistic possibility.
When I was laying that out, if Arizona plays Seattle and Minnesota,
yep,
those are not guarantees.
Both on the road.
Seattle's got Arizona and the Giants, and the Rams have a winnable and also a losable game in there.
Yeah. Well, the Rams play Sunday Night Football against Philly.
Right.
This weekend.
And then I do think that their other game, and I'm putting it up now, is against the Saints on the road. So that feels like it's pretty winnable.
Probable, but yeah, I don't even know with any of these teams.
Well, the point is, if all three of them go 1-1, then you're looking at, you know, Arizona would lose two, mm-hmm, and the Rams and Seahawks would also be 6-6, and you'd be 5-7. So you could be a game out of all three with five to go. And then, you know, Brock is coming back and you've got a Chicago team that you will be favored against. And then you've got head-to-heads that can go your way.
I also want to read this. It comes from our friend and contributor late last night, Dr. Nirav Pandya. And I want to read this because I saw this and this one resonated with me. And that was well before we knew for sure that Brock was out, even though I very much felt that yesterday. But listen to this. With regard to Brock Purdy's shoulder soreness, there are obviously multiple possibilities as to what the actual cause could be for pain. The larger issue is anytime shoulder soreness presents in a throwing athlete with prior elbow surgery, it is something to watch closely. So Doc is at least throwing out the possibility.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, that this is a concern. Not because of just this injury, but that it in some way is being either aggravated or pushed forward because of what Brock experienced in the offseason last year.
Yeah, and he actually reiterated that earlier today, talking about a combination of an injury in the same arm as a UCL reconstruction. And I asked him just quickly on Twitter about the internal brace procedure that Brock had, which is not Tommy John, but it's similar, where you put in an internal brace. Does that at all connect to the shoulder, which would then make the shoulder more vulnerable to that type of an injury? And we don't know what the shoulder injury is. If it's, you know, a labrum or a sprained AC joint, like, you know, we saw with Jordan Mason. We don't know the nature of it, but the very nature of a shoulder injury where you already had an arm injury, that is trouble.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. And I don't know when this will come out, but it is my belief that we are going to hear that this injury did not take place in the game against Seattle.
Hmm.
I think that Brock Purdy's been dealing with this for, my guess would be, about 3 weeks. I've noticed that the 49ers will not say or act like they don't know when it happened. That's not true, by the way. They know exactly the second that Brock Purdy came to them and said something's not feeling right with the shoulder. Because even in games that he played well, let's take the fourth quarter, the second half against Tampa, where we all loved what Brock Purdy did. It has looked to me for about three games like the ball is floating. It looks like the zip is gone, even in passes that are close to the line of scrimmage, and his misses are high. Think about the Deebo Samuel throw over the middle.
Yep.
And then even think about some of the throws that we saw outside the numbers against Tampa Bay early in that game. He's missed high, and the ball, the throw that he likes to throw, tends to float a little bit more than what it normally does. So I'm not saying this as a doctor. I know nothing on this particular topic. Just a guess. Based on the way the ball's been coming out of his hands, I think Brock's been dealing with this for a few weeks.
Yeah, I would guess that he heard it on the touchdown dive last week when he dives with a ball on the left and he lands on the shoulder on the right. That, to me, is probably when it happened.